This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. FEMA Administrator Deanne Criswell telling ABC News this has been a tough storm season, but they'll get through it.
Having two massive storms like this back to back certainly is not something we wanted to happen, but we've done multiple storms before. We plan for multiple scenarios like this.
Communities along Florida's Gulf Coast still reeling from Hurricane Helene, preparing now for Hurricane Milton. It's Category 4 and looking to make landfall just south of Tampa. Criswell says, leave if you can.
While you can ride out a storm and hide from the wind, you need to move away from the water. The water is what kills people.
Election Day terror plot stopped. The FBI says a 27-year-old from Oklahoma had plans to attack Americans on Election Day. He was arrested when he tried to buy AK-47s and 500 rounds of ammunition. Large-scale Israeli operation in northern Gaza killing dozens. The Palestinian Health Ministry now says the death toll more than 42,000 Palestinians. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Water systems nationwide will have to get rid of their lead pipes. That's after President Biden's announcement yesterday in Milwaukee. Stuart J. Waddles was there.
Biden used his trip to Milwaukee to issue a new deadline for cities to replace those lead water pipes.
I'm announcing a new rule written into law from the Environmental Protection Agency that requires water systems across America replace lead pipe service in every single one in America within 10 years.
Milwaukee has the fifth highest concentration of lead pipes in the country. With the president in Milwaukee, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
The Milwaukee Brewers will be on TV next year, but they won't be on Bally Sports Network. Major League Baseball says it will produce and distribute all non-nationally televised games for the Brewers. Bally's owner is in bankruptcy. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. The spring election is several months away, but in La Crosse, one candidate has already declared to run for mayor. Shondell Washington's Bybee, a former La Crosse school board member and community leader, launched his campaign yesterday. Mitch Reynolds is the current mayor and has not announced re-election plans. Tomorrow, the city council will review a proposal that would create a city administrator position to take on some of the duties currently done by the mayor's office, such as creating a city budget. Wisconsin is once again seeing high wildfire risk this week as dry and breezy conditions are paired with the seasonal drying of vegetation to create hazards across the state, including western Wisconsin. The northern two-thirds of Wisconsin are currently at high or very high fire danger. That includes La Crosse, Monroe, and counties to the north. Everything further south has a moderate risk of wildfires. The DNR said that there have been 23 wildfires across the state just this week and recommended limiting outdoor burning. For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Packers defense reviewed. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers host the Arizona Cardinals, who are coming off a win over the 49ers in San Francisco. Defensive tackle Kenny Clark asked if the new defensive coordinator, Jeff Hafley, trusts players to rush the quarterback without giving up a big play.
He trusting us, trusting the front. He just cutting us loose. And, we was just expected to make plays against this offense, against this offensive line. You know, they bled us a little bit in the run game. Got to do better there. But the turnovers we had, how we rushed the passer, going against a really good quarterback.
College football, the Badgers play Rutgers Saturday. So how is sophomore Braden Locke progressing at quarterback this season? Offensive coordinator Phil Longo.
I think Braden Locke, who has done a good job of making decisions between the signal and the snap, he's just really, really, really high end from a mental standpoint. He's a junkie and he loves it. I think that's kind of where you have to be if you want to take this quarterback position to a different level.
That's Badgers coach Phil Longo. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be sunny and warm here for a few more days, but fall temperatures are going to return by the weekend. Today, mostly sunny. We'll get to the low to mid 70s here this afternoon. Tonight, clear, mid to upper 40s. Tomorrow, sunshine, mid to upper 70s. We'll be back in the 60s by Saturday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 42.
Oh no, stomach issues again?
Stomach issues?
Who are you?
Your pancreas. I could be the real reason for your diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose oily stools.
I thought it was my stomach.
People often do, but any of these symptoms could mean having a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and speak with your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Congresswoman Summer Lee.
The American Stability Act doesn't just address the need for raising of the wage. The second thing is that tax reform piece, shifting the burden from the folks who are working class to the not just the 1%, the 0.01% of people who have seen so many benefits in this rigged system, and we have to start to unrig it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
Next, I'll be talking to Attorney General Eric Holder. We'll discuss Trump's unchecked power grab under Project 2025 and Vice President Harris's new way forward. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. Eagle 1490 AM.
You saw the fight. You saw how things were developing. You know, you.
Brother, what's up? This is a big party, man.
Yeah,
I
brother,
can
like,
dig it.
Like, stop right on.
Hey, man.
Good morning and welcome to a very special edition of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing pretty good, Earl. How are you?
Yeah, preparing for...
Yeah, the cold is coming, even though I think I saw we're going to have a random warm one on Friday.
Yeah, 82 degrees, man, and for if only a moment.
Yeah, savor it while it lasts.
Yeah, but anyway, I want to remind people who may not be aware, the President of the United States, Joe Biden, was in the city of Milwaukee on yesterday. And I'll tell you a little story before I go to my guests. So I, you know, didn't think about getting credentials to go see him. I didn't even know where he was going to be. And so I was, you know, I had made it. I was going to the post office. And so I'm wondering, hey, man, they got 35th Street blocked off from Capitol Drive all the way back to Townsend. And they've got all these big city vehicles blocking off all the arteries, and I'm like, man, what's going on here? And so I get out of my vehicle and walk four blocks to the post office, and I see Brian Verdine, that Verdine, a couple of friends of yours and mine, old guys standing around. Like, man, what's going on? They said, well, the president's going to be over there, and I'm like, what? You know, well, this is where Joe Biden's going to be. And I'm standing on the corner, see all these law enforcement officers and everybody else. And I said, okay, I knew he was coming to the city, but I didn't know that's where he was going to be. But anyway, he was here to talk about lead pipe removals and the fact that, you know, he has allocated $2.6 billion. Across the nation to eliminate lead pipes by the year 2037. And so my just good old friend, man, you know, who is it, man? John Lewis, who talked about good trouble. If you're going to make trouble, make sure it's good trouble. And so my friend from many years ago, Robert Miranda, is in the studio. Good morning to you, Robert. How you doing, man?
Good morning, Earl. How are you?
I'm doing fine, man. We're going to be joined by Mr. Paul Schwartz as we work through this. But let's talk about, man, your involvement. I remember, man, it seems like a different life ago.
Right.
You and I, you calling me one day at a different radio station. I was much younger, and you were as well. And you started talking about a problem with lead pipes in the city of Milwaukee. Before anybody else was really talking about it, let's talk about that journey and how, and why we're where we are now and how we got here.
Sure. Yeah, it was a pretty lonely journey.
Yeah.
Because we were facing a lot of power at that time. Back in actually, it started around late 2014, picked up a little in 2015. We were facing the power of the mayor's office. We were facing the power of leaders and nonprofits who were just basically throwing much shade and every effort to discredit and label us as nuts and people who are out of touch. We were actually accused of being part of the lead paint
industry. So Robert, hang on a second. Let's welcome Mr. Paul Swartz to the discussion. Good morning to you, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Mr. Ingram, and good morning, Robert.
Good morning,
really
Paul.
Get the opportunity to be here.
Tell us. Let's do this. Let's introduce Mr. Paul Swartz, your co-founder of the Campaign for Lead-Free Water. What is that?
So we're a national community-based environmental justice and organization that's working with people in communities like Robert in Milwaukee who are trying to figure out, did we have an exposure like in Washington, D.C. and in Flint to lead and water in our taps? And what can we do to mobilize our communities to protect ourselves, both as individuals and in our families and our cities and our states? And what was the right science? What were the effects, especially on the most vulnerable populations? And what were the policies that were the right policies to do to protect our communities, both from individual harm and from community-wide harm that's been visited on us for decades without people knowing?
Right.
So we were founded in 2016. Robert was part of the first meeting in Washington, D.C., drove down with a friend without knowing us, and we put together really an important, powerful, community-based set of organizations to be in communication with each other and to be in solidarity and to support us in standing up to the okey-doke that was being visited on us by our water agencies, by our state and local health agencies, by EPA, and by the Centers for Disease Control. And as Robert said, standing up to the false narratives that the lead exposure in our homes was just from paint, soil, and dust, when we know that lead and water is ubiquitous in almost every building in the United States, and that the lead pipes are really critical to get out in a timely way, and that people, not the government, are going to have to be doing our own education about how to protect ourselves, especially since it's going to take a long time not only to get the lead pipes out, which Robert has been and FLAC and GTLO have been advocating to get out in a timely way for many years, but also, even if we got a magic fairy came and waved her wand and all the lead pipes came out, which is really critical and an important step, there's still going to be lead exposure at the tap in almost every home, in our schools, our rec centers, our libraries, our commercial establishments.
So,
the fortunate thing, I just want to just one last point before you take over. The fortunate thing is that we have a technology, which are duly certified filters that you can put on the counter or on the tap, that can reliably get the exposure down while we're working hard to get out the lead from our homes and from outside our homes and the pipes.
So I have to ask you that many Americans are unaware of this. The majority of the American people are totally unaware of this. And even if they hear about it, they don't believe that our government would do such a thing to them. Your response. Your response, Paul.
Oh, my response. I thought you were turning to Robert.
No. We'll go to Robert after your response to people who couldn't believe that our elected officials or our government would do that to the citizens of this nation and their children.
Yeah, that's a really great point, Earl. And I just want to say that it really is shocking that this manufacture of ignorance by our government and by public health officials has been going on for so long. But, you know, 10 years before Flint, here in my hometown in D.C., we had 20 to 30 times the amount of lead coming through our taps. And we had a peer-reviewed studies that have shown a 37% increase in fetal death across the city of D.C., the nation's capital, and somewhere between up to 42,000 of our kids between 0 and 6 that got elevated levels of lead in their blood. And 20 years after that exposure, that was well documented in 2004, peer-reviewed literature shows that there's about a 20-year lag between those large-scale exposures and increases in aggression, violence, and homicide. You know that DC's had one of the worst homicide rates in the nation, and that's been coming down now, but not like other big cities. And that's because of when you have massive lead exposure, there's about a 20-year gap. And that's what we had in D.C. after a 2.5-year cover-up. So the Centers for Disease Control faked a study with our Department of Health that said there was zero relationship between any amount of lead in water and elevated levels of lead in our blood. That was exposed in congressional hearings several years later. That study that was published in CDC's premier health publication called the Morbidity and Mortality Weekly Report really misled people all over the country. And so governments have been in the hip pocket of the water utilities. The water utilities have used the lead paint and soil and dust exposure, which is significant and important, and something that we need to do a better job of in Milwaukee and D.C. and in other cities all around the country. And that's been really mishandled all over the country. Has been used as a fig leaf for the water authorities to hide behind. And the reason they're hiding behind it is because they don't want the liability. They don't want the political heat. And they don't want to be told what to do with our resources, our rate dollars, and our tax dollars that are being given to them. And now what they want to do is they want to say, well, we'll take our time, but we're not going to protect people today with filter distribution and for people who don't have the money to do it with the subsidization to make sure, and the training to make sure that we get the right filters in the right place and that we operate them properly. So that's the short scoop.
So Paul and Robert and others, this is not something that we can do in a sprint. It's going to take some time, and I'm allocating the time on my show from now until whatever time it takes for us to get this story out. However many times we have to have the discussion, we'll do that. So, Robert, we've got to take a short hiatus. Guys, hang on. It is a special edition of the Earl Ingram Show. I'm joined by Mr. Paul Swartz, Robert Miranda of Flat, and we are talking about lead pipes and lead in the water in the United States of America.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow,
Greg Bach, and meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Brittany, you ever name any of your vehicles?
I have a Jeep Wrangler right now, and I named it Natural Disaster.
I've been driving Wranglers for forever here.
All right, I'll just see you guys later.
Do you duck anybody?
I've got the duck it bucket in the back.
What
I'm ready to go.
Are you talking about? Hey, where are my Honda Insights at?
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, weekday morning 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. We'll be right back. The Dom Salvia Show.
And Egan Walkoff from Wisconsin Native Vote.
20 years ago, I moved to a suburb of Milwaukee. I went to register, and the woman was like, "You're Indian? Indians don't vote. You can't vote."
What?
So when I'm talking to a group of Native Americans, did I tell them that story? And they're like, "What?" And that gets their dander up. And I'm going to go yeah, vote for sure.
Absolutely.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Most people out here think that taking care of one another is important. And most people would step up for a neighbor going through a tough time. Most people around here help out friends and family when they need it. But the funny thing is, most of us won't look for help when we need it. Talk to someone if you're struggling with mental health, because most people out here really care. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matt and Air on Air.
All right, welcome back to a very special edition of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. My guest, Mr. Paul Swartz from Washington, D.C., and Robert Miranda, good friend from the city of Milwaukee. Robert, you and I, and I remember you coming to me long time ago, man, talking about lead pipes and the impact it was having on our community, long before any of us really thought about it. How did you come into that information?
Well, like in 2014, Milwaukee experienced a record number of water main breaks. And that was hitting the news around that time. It was very impactful because of the number of water main breaks we were suffering. And then the following year, I started seeing a spike in lead blood level increasing in Milwaukee. And around that same time, a whole lot of stuff with Flint was going on. And then so I started putting things together, and I started saying, wow, Milwaukee seems to have had its own episode of a lead poisoning episode that people are not aware of. And Flint, which had an episode of lead blood poisoning through the source water change from the Huron Lake to the Flint River, I said, well, Milwaukee just had one because of all these water main breaks. And we did a request of records and found that there was a link with rising lead blood lead levels and the water main breaks, a record number of water main breaks. And we also, over the past couple of years, saw that once the water main breaks leveled off, the lead blood level spiking started leveling off. And so we knew there was a correlation. And so when we began the fight, we experienced a lot of what Paul had just described. The attacks by government on us, the attacks by nonprofits aligned and partnered with the government going at us for putting out misinformation. As a matter of fact, like I said earlier, at the time, the Barrett administration was involved in a lawsuit against the lead paint industry. And the Barrett administration, as well as the chief of staff at the time, Pat Curley.
The former mayor of a city, Milwaukee.
Right.
Tom Barrett.
Tom Barrett. They had a big press conference, and it was covered by all the media, Journal Sentinel, everybody, accusing us of being aligned with the lead paint industry to put out misinformation make us look like we were helping the lead paint industry try to win its lawsuit, when in fact we weren't even near anywhere with the lead paint industry. But when we started hitting harder, that's when the administration started coming out harder. Now, the administration was also exposed for covering up when Marquette University held a symposium back in September of 2016. And they invited a renowned expert on the issue. And he was the keynote speaker at Marquette University. And even on his PowerPoint, he put up this big sign in front of the mayor and everybody where he said Milwaukee historically has had a cover-up of lead and water for years. We knew that to be true because the city of Milwaukee partially was trying to cover up the issue of lead poisoning our bodies through water because of the lead paint lawsuit that the city had against the lead paint industry. They didn't want to lose that. The lead paint industry says, well, you know, we'll take responsibility, but we're not going to take full responsibility. And
for the poisoning of
our community.
Yeah.
But they couldn't prove anything because the city of Milwaukee, up until 2017, was not testing the water for lead whenever it did its environmental home assessments and when it started looking at homes that had reported children with high blood lead levels. And so without that data, the lead paint industry couldn't really prove that they had 100% responsibility, liability here. But when we started coming out showing water was also a major contributor to the lead blood paint levels, lead blood poisoning of our community, that's when we started getting attacked. That's when we started getting assaulted verbally by the administration. And when we started pushing back and we had the lead transparency resolution passed, at the time, Alderman Zielinski and Alderman Donovan and Alderman Ashanti Hamilton helped pass that lead transparency resolution. That's when the bottom fell out on the lead program. And the lead program fell apart. Immediately, a lot of the mayor's administration started abandoning ship. By the time we got to the point where we were back in 2019, 2019, that's when the mayor decided it's time to make the hiatus to Luxembourg to go after the Wiener Schnitzel.
So I want to thank Greg from Jane Madnair and Madnair on Air. He got a clip from Eric Hovde, who's running for senator. Calvin, do we have enough time to get that in? All right, if you'll be so kind as to play it for us, please.
Look, lead paint was stopped in the 1970s, but there's still homes that have lead paint. Lead pipes are more dangerous. The reality of it is there's not a lot of lead pipes anymore because typically a pipe will erode over a certain amount of time and they replace them. So I think it's trying to act like there's a bigger issue. The amount of lead pipes in this country are very small.
That is crazy.
So I'm watching Paul Swartz in D.C. and my guest Robert as they listen to a guy who wants to be the senator.
Well, he better not be because for what he said, that guy is crazy. He has no idea what he's talking about.
Okay, so 855-752-4842. Our guest again, Mr. Paul Swartz from Washington, D.C., Robert Miranda from FLAC. And we're talking about, lead in the water. And, President Joe Biden was here on yesterday in the city of Milwaukee pledging $46 million more to deal with a problem that a guy who's running for United States Senate says is not a big problem at all. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
He's ready to put America in a device.
It's free. God knows where we're headed.
This is the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. U.S. Senate candidate Eric Hovde is claiming FEMA is running out of money, but the Federal Emergency Agency says it's not true. Hovde goes on to claim in a social media post that money for Hurricane Helene relief is being diverted to illegal immigrants. FEMA says that's not the case either and is asking people to stop sharing the video. Young adults are registered to vote like never before. Vote.org reports signing up a record 800,000 new voters under the age of 35. Registration is especially high in states with abortion restrictions, like Wisconsin.
In spite of all that kind of dysfunction, they're being compelled to vote by a lot of issues they've also grown up around. This is the generation that grew up with mass shootings in schools.
John Marcus reports on higher education for the Heschinger Report. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. A man charged with homicide in a nearly four-decade-old cold case is charged. La Crosse, Monroe, and Vernon County officials said 60-year-old Michael Pop of Toma is being held on a $1 million bond as the lone suspect in the 1985 death of Terry Dalloway. According to court documents, a DNA sample taken last year from Pop matches a sample that was collected during the 1985 autopsy. Dalloway was a 24-year-old UW La Crosse student who was found dead in Vernon County 4 days after going missing in 1985. The next court date is in December. The two candidates running for Congress in Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District could be headed for a debate. Republican incumbent Derek Van Orden said he had nothing to be concerned about in debating Democratic challenger Rebecca Cook, calling his congressional record, quote, impeccable. Cook issued a statement yesterday saying Van Orden has been avoiding events where the two would be together and that he refused to debate then-candidate Brad Paff in 2022. The election is on November 5th. For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Despite being married to the star of Sex and the City, Mr. Sarah Jessica Parker, Matthew Broderick says there are guest roles he had no problem turning down when offered so the two could work together. One role in particular the actor turned down was that of a premature, sort of sounds like miscalculator. Hey, that actually kind of makes sense. The New York Post reports that Parker says the couple doesn't work together because why would they? Stating a desire to keep their personal and professional lives separate. It's official. Taylor Swift is the richest female musician in the world. To be honest, I couldn't believe she wasn't already. Forbes reports that the 34-year-old megastar has a net worth of $1.6 billion. That's impressive enough, but she officially became a billionaire just last fall, so the cash is still rolling in. Swift surpassed the former richest female musician, Rihanna, who has a net worth of a measly $1.4 billion. Sounds like Taylor can officially stop waitressing. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be sunny and warm here for a few more days, but fall temperatures are going to return by the weekend. Today, mostly sunny. We'll get to the low to mid-70s here this afternoon. Tonight, clear, mid to upper 40s. Tomorrow, sunshine, mid to upper 70s. We'll be back in the 60s by Saturday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temperature, 44.
As a network, we're called Civic Media because a big part of it is we want to start modeling how civic discourse really should happen and being respectful of each other's opinions, even if you disagree, you know, like they should be given a platform.
If Rocker and I can get along, right. We can all get along.
I know, exactly.
Right,
yeah.
Rocker?
Yeah, that's right, Jimmy.
Well, you do have a wall in between the two of you, so
glass.
It's like...
It's only glass. Tear down the walls. Listen to Max Inc. Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot will join us. Public cervix announcement with Dr. Laura Hanks. We wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
All right, welcome back to a special edition of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. Very special edition of the Earl Ingram Show. I'm joined by Robert Miranda, a good friend of Flack, who has been at the forefront of addressing, you know, lead contamination in the pipes, not just in the city of Milwaukee, but many parts of this nation. He has invited Mr. Paul Swartz. And Paul, you and your title is what?
Yeah, I'm a co-founder of the Campaign for Lead-Free Water and an organizer along with Robert, working with local folks in several states and nationally to take this on and make sure that people in our communities have the tools to protect themselves.
All right, Robert, we'll take a quick call, and then we'll get back to you. Let's go to Al from Milwaukee. Good morning to you, Al. You say what? Al.
Everybody listening. Yes, I hear you.
Okay, go ahead. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I want to say to all of the people in Southeast Wisconsin and everyone that can hear this, you all need to congratulate Robert Miranda for all of his work since the 1970s working on lead abatement. And when we were out there fighting about the creeks flooding and what have you and our homes flooding, Robert was out there fighting for lead abatement, and he didn't let it go. And all of the things that have happened as a result of his work is what you are experiencing right now with the money coming in and the work that's going to be done. So personally, I want to say thank you, Robert.
Hey, Al, you are 100% correct. Thank you very much for that call. We're going to go to Cindy from Michigan. Thank you very much, Cindy. You say what?
Hey, Earl, I live in a little town called Waterville, which is just across the lake. I used to live in Milwaukee years ago, loved it, but my parents lived here, so I came back home. I'm about 15 miles, 20 miles away from Benton Harbor, Michigan, and they had a bad lead problem, and they're primarily a black majority town. You know, it with 100-year-old infrastructure. So they were within the Biden administration's infrastructure program to get those lead lines all completely redone, including to the homes, from the connection from the street to the homes. And I can attest that in our town, we did the same thing. We had to use a USDA loan back when loan rates were very low, right after the 08 crash of the economy. The interest rates were very low right then. That's when my town got on the case, said, listen, we've got to take care of this, or we're going to have our water shut off. Also, they had people that came out to the house and inspected inside my house. I had just had my lines all redone within, but they would have been involved in making sure that those loans and stuff were done. And I would ask realtors, people who actually have to sell homes and make those homes, attractive for the buyer, how are they going to sell homes and say, yeah, it's all full of lead? They're not going to. So anything that is done to improve that situation is great. And I'm glad that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are on the case, because there's also another thing. Ask educators what the studies are about lead to the child's brain.
Hey, Cindy, I wish we had more time. Thank you for the call. I do want to say that we're going to continue this discussion next Wednesday at the same time. And how many other Wednesdays after that it takes, I'm going to commit to having Paul Swartz, Robert Miranda, and others on these airways to continue to talk about this. because there's no way possible we can even scratch the surface of the magnitude of what this issue is. Thank you very much, Cindy. Robert, you were saying.
So I'm going to go ahead and talk a little bit about the changes that are coming down now with this lead copper rule, the LCR, the Safe Water Act. And I'm sure Paul can give us more of the details of the of what's going on. They're supposed to release a final version of the changes here real soon. But before I do that, I wanted to make sure that if people are very interested in reading a little bit of about the background of the work that we've been doing, we published an article in the Milwaukee Beagle just this week. In the Milwaukee Beagle, people could go there and they could read a lot of what the history and a lot of the information that we're talking about today. They could read that on there as well. But the lead copper rule is the rule that is under the Safe Water Act. And the Safe Water Act was passed to ensure that the cities and municipalities and water utilities provide our communities with safe drinking water. But the lead copper rule was very weak. So in the last few years, there has been a push, national push, and Paul Schwartz and the national campaign has been very instrumental in pushing for a lot of the changes in the lead copper rule. And so a lot of the lead copper rule of the past gave a lot of cover and shelter to governments to basically misinform and mislead and not provide the accurate information that is needed. We're making those changes now to change all that so that we could get the most accurate information so that the public can stop being misled. But I'm going to give Paul the mic so he could go ahead and give us a real good detail and understanding of the changes that are coming. Go ahead, Paul.
Thanks. Thanks, Robert. Thanks, Earl. First of all, you know, it's really important what Robert said to understand that when the regulations under the Federal Safe Drinking Water Act were passed, there was a lot of opposition from the water utility industry, including the association that Milwaukee Water Works is a part of called the American Water Works Association, which is the biggest association of water utilities in the United States. And they're still pushing, even though the rule that Robert talked about, the lead and copper rule, was dropped today. It's 900 pages long. And in those pages, which we're still reading and taking notes and talking to experts on corrosion control and how lead pipes work and, you know, about the public health effects of the details of that rule, there have been, in our preliminary breakdown, some steps forward. But we're still looking to make sure that a few critical things are really attended to that haven't been dealt with on the up and up. One especially is the public education and messaging that happens, that's required both in the rule and that tells water utilities what they have to do in terms of notification and in terms of letting people know about the problem, but also the agency itself, EPA, and we have to confirm whether they made improvements on this, have been publishing on their website lots of information that, if followed, will actually make the lead and water situation worse. And unfortunately, the water utilities and our governments refer to that bad information. It doesn't follow the science. So that's one of the things that I and Robert and our colleagues are going to be checking very carefully as we read through this 900-page rule. The other thing that's happening is that under the lead service line replacement program that Milwaukee Water Works will be pulling together and implementing in the community, and other water utilities like them across Wisconsin and across the country, there are a lot of off-ramps that we need to make sure have been tightened up so that they can't accelerate the harm. For instance, in Washington, D.C., when we had our agency under the microscope and the media was looking at them, they pledged $300 million they didn't have the day before to accelerate lead pipe removal. But what they did is they only replaced part of the lead pipe. And that increased the exposure of lead to people in such a way that people were 2 to 3 times more likely to get elevated levels of lead in their blood while the pipes were being swapped out because they didn't do it right. So we need to make sure that the rule is going to make sure that all the lead pipes are found and that they're pulled out properly. And that's going to take people like Robert and the listeners here to come together to hold our water utilities accountable and to learn what we need to know to protect ourselves.
So, Paul,
to make sure that we're using filters right now, today, so, while we're waiting for this to come out.
So, sorry, Paul, so no, you're fine. So, Robert, it has to leave. We're going to carry you until the top of the hour. But I want you to know, as I said to Robert, so from this point forward on Wednesdays, at this point in time, people can lock in. We're going to bring you guys on again and again and again because people don't know the magnitude of all the different intricacies that are involved in what we're talking about. And Robert, quickly before you get out of here, people who are listening, children, let's talk about the impact of lead on newborn babies.
Yes.
And children, why this is so important.
And Paul can carry on that conversation on the flip side. But again, this is so important because even when babies are born, they should be tested for lead because we don't know how much lead is in the mother's. Yes. We don't know how much lead is in the mother's blood. We don't know if the mother has contracted lead to that fetus while the fetus was growing in the mother. And so babies who are born should be immediately tested for lead to see if there's any lead levels in those babies. Because as the babies grow up and the mother isn't aware that she is lead tainted within her blood, the milk she is, if she's breastfeeding, can contribute more to the blood lead levels of these babies. These are kinds of information that get out there. Some people know this, a lot of people don't. And so we need to get this kind of information out there so that people understand the magnitude. Just because the government says, oh, the lead exposure in the water is down to 1 part per billion or 2 parts per billion, that is nonsense. It is zero. It's the number we need to be at. And if you're drinking and cooking with water that has 1 or 2 or 3 parts per billion in it, if you're consuming that every day, that accumulates in your blood system, that builds up in your body, and that lead stays in your body and hibernates in your bone and soft tissue. And for women, especially pregnant women who stress, eventually that releases back into the blood system and affects the fetuses. This is a major issue. This is nothing to play with. And we have to make sure that the government is providing the right information so that the public understands what it has to do to protect it.
So, Robert, I will see you again on next Wednesday at this time. Thank you very much.
Thank you, brother. All right, we'll talk later, Paul.
All right, so hang on, Paul. We'll be coming back to you. Our phone lines are open, as always, at 855-752-4842. Very special edition of the Earl Ingram Show talking about the lead issue in water in this nation. When you needed me, I was always there and I wasn't there.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
This is an important announcement for Wisconsinites who plan to vote in the November 2024 election. Leading nonpartisan economists have analyzed the economic plans of Donald Trump and concluded that he would cause inflation to rise and the economy to slow. And 16 Nobel Prize-winning economists wrote a letter warning that Donald Trump would reignite inflation with his fiscally irresponsible budgets. Donald Trump's tariff plan would act as a national sales tax, costing the average family as much as $4,000 per year. But Vice President
President Kamala Harris's plan would help middle-class families deal with rising costs. In her first 100 days, Kamala Harris would pass a ban on price gouging at the grocery store. And as vice president, she worked to cap the cost of many prescription drugs, including insulin, saving many families thousands of dollars per year. On the economy, the choice is clear. Vote Kamala Harris for president. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Action, www.abwt-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Farmers in Wisconsin have always been ahead of the times, and it's no different in the mid-1800s. George Esterly was running a large wheat farm outside of Whitewater, but reaping his crop by hand was back-breaking work. Esterly invented a mechanical harvesting machine and used it in his own fields in 1844. He then won a Chicago Mechanics Gold Medal 4 years later. But was he the first in the country to build a harvesting machine? The answer is coming up. Esterly followed up his win by opening a factory in the Whitewater area, building the harvesting machines and eventually other farm equipment too. By the 1880s, 500 people worked there. So was Esterly the first in the country to build a new mechanical harvesting machine? Yes, this man's early farm invention lives on as a remarkable slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
All right, welcome back to a very special edition of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. I want to thank my good friend Robert Miranda, for as Al said earlier, for all of the decades of hard work that he has put into this. And as Tony texted, never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has changed the world. So, Tony, kudos to you. You know, Paul, I want to say to you, sir, and you correct me if I'm wrong, you talk about the EPA and you talk about governmental bodies that are there supposedly to protect the American people. And there are people who are listening who would not believe that the governmental bodies that are there to protect us can somehow, you know, be jaded politically. And every day on my show, I try to get people to understand that if they continue to just trust without verifying, and they say, well, it's America, it's our great nation, this wouldn't happen, they're not going to allow this to happen. But it is true. Now, let me get to you with this, because we're going to be meeting again and again and again, so we can't get this all out. What would you say to people who how often they should have their children tested for lead? Because it's not something that's done when they draw blood. You have to make sure you tell the people, the doctor that sends you to have the blood drawn, that you need to have them test. I can't tell the people drawing blood to test for lead. That's something that you talk about educating people, all these different aspects of it. I know I said a lot, sir, but bite off whatever you can chew.
Thanks, Earl. You know, this is, on one level, a very easy thing to understand. And we've known for 2,000 years since Roman and Greek times that lead and water don't mix. And when they do, they're bad for you.
Right.
But there's three really simple key things to understand. One is that lead is in the water in near about every building in the United States. Second, that the lead exposures that we get, whether they're small or large, and whether they're acute or chronic, that lead only stays present in the blood for around 30 days. And so if you're not going to get a test within 30 days, even though the lead is still resident in your bones and in your body in the way that Robert talked about, you'll miss that exposure. The second thing is that blood lead testing is important, but right now there's a struggle to get it even done twice a year at 1 year old and at 2 year old. It affects every age of person, our young people and the fetuses in the womb the most. And mostly the blood lead testing that's done misses the exposure. That's a lifetime exposure once it happens. And so while it's important to get blood lead testing because it can show if there's been lead in the blood in the last 30 days, and that's really critical, you could have up to a hazardous waste levels of lead exposure, and that could be missed if you don't get it within that period. So I think people should presume that there's some level of lead exposure.
In all of us, maybe.
In all of us. And it gets passed along through the generations as well, as we're growing in the womb. So the second thing is that people talk about lead testing at the tap. And that's important too, but lead testing at the tap doesn't get at the fact that lead comes out erratically and randomly. So if you had a test of 0 or 1 or 15 one minute, in the next hour or the next day or the next week, you could have a test of 100 or 1,000. And that too misses the impact and the exposure that we have in our community. In DC, DC Water, our water utility's own water authority's data suggests that they use for compliance with the EPA regulations, suggests that there's lead in 85% of the samples that they take across the city. And that's not really going to be different in any city, even if they have the right chemicals in the water, even if your lead pipe has been swapped out, that exposure is still going to be there. So the key thing is to protect ourselves. And the technology that we have available to do that now is a dually certified filter with ANSI or NSF standards 42 and 53. And while we're waiting and advocating for the lead to come out in the proper way, people need to protect themselves.
So I want to say, first off, Mr. Schwartz, it's been a pleasure to get a chance to meet you. And so we got a lot of great work that we'll be doing now. Wednesdays on the Earl Ingram Show at 8 o'clock. We'll see you next Wednesday, and we'll continue this really critically important information that should be disseminated to all American citizens. Thank you, sir. We'll
talk
next
Wednesday.
Thank
you for being a leader, Earl, and using your broadcast and your bully pulpit to hold the elected officials and the government officials accountable and to arm our people with the information we need for justice and peace.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome former Milwaukee police officer and founder of the Cops and Writers website, Patrick O'Donnell, and WGBW producer and social media expert, Amanda Nimmer, joins the show.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes, that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping? Your mind racing? So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes, just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Soaring high above La Crosse.
This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.